ஹரிஹ ஓம் தத்சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹ ஓம் ஓம் கணானாம் த்வா கணபதிம் ஹவாமஹே கவிம் கவேனாமுபமஸ்ரவஸ்தமம் ஜ்யேஷ்டராஜம் ப்ரஹ்மணாம் ப்ரஹ்மணஸ்பத ஆனஸ்ரண்வன்னோதிபிஸ் சீத சாதனம். ஓம் ஸ்ரீ மகாகணபதயே நமஹ. ஓம் ப்ரஹ்மானந்தம். ஓம் ப்ரஹ்மானந்தம் பரமசுகதம் சாந்திஹி. I'm sure you all remember the word purushartha, human pursuit. I'll repeat today, that which is fundamentally sought after by a man, by a human being, is human pursuit, purushartha, purushena arthyate, arthyate, that which is sought after, is purushartha. And we saw there are only four human pursuits: artha, kama, dharma, mokshaha. Mokshaha, artha, kamaha, dharmaha, and mokshaha, mokshaha. And you know, all the pursuits are equally important, but artha, kama, dharma, those three pursuits come under the category of prayas, and moksha comes under the category of shreyas. So all the four can be reduced to two as prayas and shreyas. Prayas is important, pursuit of prayas is important, pursuit of shreyas also is important. In fact, pursuit of shreyas, mokshaha, is the paramaha purushartha, the exalted of all the four human pursuits. We saw, because mokshaha is freedom from unhappiness, the unwanted, undesirable unhappiness, therefore mokshaha implies happiness. Happiness means limitless happiness, which means being happy always, everywhere, with everybody. Okay, so not getting affected by any situation and not being dependent on anything external for one's well-being and happiness. That is in fact mokshaha. And that mokshaha is a choiceless end. I told you, mokshaha is a choiceless end. You have to remember that. And moksha, therefore, happiness, moksha in the form of happiness, is something to be discovered, not to be attained. Why? Because attainment of something is possible only if it is not there. So what is already there cannot be attained. If something which is already there, if it is not there, means it is only the ignorance that makes you, that distances you from what is already there. Therefore, understanding, knowing, discovering what happiness is, in fact, attaining mokshaha. And that, therefore, knowledge of happiness is knowledge of the reality. Why? Because happiness and reality, the reality of the jagat, are two inseparable things. Why? Because they're not even two things, inseparable things. Why? Happiness is the swarupam, nature of the very reality. I told you all these things. Therefore, this is the where I understand moksha being the ultimate human pursuit should be very clear. The knowledge of the reality becomes the means to accomplish the end. First we say sadhanam and sadhyam. One is the means, knowledge of the reality is the means to accomplish the ultimate end called mokshaha. So discover what happiness is. We need to know first what the reality is. I say one is the means, one is the end. Thereafter, I said, the means itself becomes the end. Is it clear? Remember that. Why? Because knowing what the sun is knowing what the light is. Knowing what the fire is, knowing what the heat is. Therefore, knowing what the reality of the Jagat is knowing what happiness is. Isn't it? Therefore, knowledge of the reality itself is discovering happiness. There are two different things. It's like knowing what the sun is discovering what the light is. Therefore, knowledge of reality becomes the ultimate end, and that knowledge, has to be gained through the study of Upanishads. Why? Because, why I told you that now reality of the entire universe is available for recognition only as the meaning of the word I. Why? Every one of us, being part and parcel of the whole Jagat, reality of the universe and reality of oneself are not two different things. Like what? Like the truth of the wave and the truth of the ocean are not two different things. Why? Because the wave, if the wave happens to know the truth of the entire ocean, the wave has to recognize its itself, that it is not outside of the ocean. Every wave happens to be part and parcel of the ocean. The wave has to know the truth of the ocean means the wave has to know the truth of itself. Similarly, here, every one of us being part and parcel of the entire cosmos, prapanchaha, the reality, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth of the entire universe has to be known as the very truth of oneself. Therefore, Shastra say, know thyself. Okay? Know thyself means what? Knowledge of the self is equal to the knowledge of the reality or the self of the entire cosmos. Knowledge of the entire cosmos is equal to the knowledge of the reality is the knowledge of the, what happiness is. Understand? Therefore, you can say self-knowledge is equal to, knowledge of the reality of the universe. Knowledge of the reality of the universe is equal to knowledge of what happiness is. Knowledge of what happiness is equal to discovering happiness is moksha, isn't it? Therefore, A is equal to B, B is equal to C, C is equal to D. We can say A is equal to D. Therefore, self-knowledge itself is moksha. We have come to know, we left everything, come to self-knowledge now. Understand? And here the question comes. The self-knowledge means, we saw the knowledge of anything external to the oneself can be known through five different senses. I told you we need a means of knowledge called, Shastram. Without means of knowledge, no knowledge is possible. And here to have the knowledge of the self also, we need a means of knowledge, which is the Shastram. And why do we need Shastram? I said, eyes cannot look at themselves. Even though the eyes can see the whole Jagat, eyes can boast. You know, come on. Whatever is in the universe, we have to see. For any object to be seen, any shape to be seen, a form to be seen, a color to be seen, light to be seen. Oh my God, we have to see the light. The eyes can boast, but the and ears will ask you, come on, if you have to look at themselves, can you look at yourselves? Okay, no. Then the eyes are different on the mirror. Understand? To look at how they look. Therefore, similarly, when we can know the whole Jagat through five different senses, but to know who you are, you need a mirror. Understand? And this is where we said, Shastra Shabdaha, words of the Shastram, serve as means of knowledge to reveal the nature of the self. We saw all those things. But Shastram is the only means of knowledge, and to know whether the Shastram works or not, you have to study the Shastram, make use of the Shastram, to even to know whether it is effective or not. without studying the Shastram, without trying to know what it is there, you can't say Shastram is useless, nor can you say, yeah, Shastram is very, very useful, very effective. You cannot say that. If the doctor prescribes some medicine, you should say, you should have taken the medicine to say whether the medicine has worked or not, following all the instructions they give you. Understand? Similarly, here also you should make use of the Shastram to know whether it is effective or not, and that Shastram also you have to study with the help of the proper sampradaya with the teacher who knows the tradition method of unfoldment, then it will work, we said. But even the Shastram is available, teacher is available, but you must be also eligible for that knowledge. I told you this very clearly last class. So what is that one should be equipped, adequately qualified for any further qualification? Similarly here also, for one to be, you know, the self-knowledge also, even the teachers available, textbooks are available, still one has to be qualified, and the qualification required is what? Mental purity and mental steadiness. And for this mental purity and steadiness, if one has to understand the connection, come on, moksha is a choiceless end. Discovering what happiness is moksha, in fact. And that moksha is possible only in the knowledge of this reality of the universe. And the knowledge of the reality has to be known as the self, very self of truth of oneself. And therefore, to understand and to know the self, the Shastram is the means. And the teacher also is available, but for which one has to be mentally pure and steady. That is the qualification required. And to have that, so we understand the connection between everything. And this is where we know how important it is for one to become mentally pure and steady. Only when a person knows the importance and the necessity and the choicelessness of becoming mentally pure and steady for knowledge, one understands the value of values. I told you. Understand? Unless one lives a life of values, there is no way of becoming mentally pure and steady, and which implies one living a life of karma yoga. Therefore, living a life of karma yoga is an indirect means for knowledge, for the end. Okay, so moksha is the ultimate end. We say knowledge is the means, direct means for the moksha. But even though we say knowledge is the means, knowledge and the moksha are identical. The means and the end are identical here. And there is therefore, living a life of karma yoga prepares the mind for knowledge, makes the mind eligible for knowledge, qualified for knowledge. Therefore, karma yoga is an indirect means for moksha. We said we saw all that. And living a life of karma yoga, I talked in two classes. Don't worry about it. I'll be talking again in the following classes. Because whole class, we are going to study karma yoga in detail, elaborately. Okay, every word of Gita, every word of Upanishad, we're going to study later on. But actually, I gave you whole synopsis. Then I said, how does Shastram, you know, help you to know the self? How Shastram helps you understand what the self is? How it serves the means of knowledge? And the Shastram uses very, very unique methods of unfoldment. Because what is to be known is the subtlest reality. I tell you one thing, any object of knowledge, even the subtle facts in physics, when compared to this, is much gross knowledge. Knowledge is subtle, understand? And here, understand knowledge of the very reality. Therefore, subtlest substance has to be discovered as the very self. Therefore, Shastram does not use, that reality has to be known only as the meaning substance of the substantive first person singular pronoun I. I'll tell you one thing. See, devotion is a substantive, a noun, a word, a term. And what is the substance of the substantive ocean? H2O. You remove H2O, the substantive ocean has no meaning. Why do I say that? Water alone has substantiality. The word ocean minus water has no substantiality. That is why water, the H2O, is substance, and ocean is only the substantive. And similarly, the word wave also is a substantive. Substance of the substantive wave is the same H2O. Substance of the substantive ocean also is the same H2O, same water. Understand? Of the two substantives, ocean and the wave, substance is the same water. Why? Substance alone has substantiality. I say why? Because substance can exist independent of the substantives. Without being a wave, without being an ocean, water can be. Water can exist. Whereas the substantive wave, the substantive ocean cannot exist independent of water. That is why we say the substantive has no substantiality, the substance alone has substantiality. Similarly, we say for this entire ocean, substance is water. For the wave also, substance is water. Similarly, there is one substance which alone has substantiality, minus which the substantive universe will become meaningless. That substance is the absolute substance, is the absolute reality. That is the subtlest. There is nothing which is subtler than that substance. There is an absolute substance minus which the universe, the substantive universe, will not have meaning at all. Okay? Similarly, here we say that substance reality is available for recognition, understanding only as the substance of the substantive I. Substance of the substantive first person singular pronoun I, and the substance of the substantive universe is equal to one and the same. Like what? Substance of the substantive wave, substance of the substantive ocean is equal to one H2O, water. Similarly, the substance of the substantive cosmos is equal to substance of the substantive I. One and the same. Understand? Therefore, there is no way of knowing it. Is it clear now? Because the subtlest shastram, what does it do? It uses a method of negation. What is the method of negation? by saying what the substance is not. Okay? It doesn't say this is the substance, directly doesn't show. By saying what the substance is not, by saying what the reality is not, by negating what it is not, it helps you to arrive at what the substance is. Okay? Neti, neti vachanaihi. Neti paddhati. I mean, neti means what? Method of negation. It negates. If I say, what, just to make you understand what mic means, this is not the mic. Okay, mic is not this. Listen, look at this. Mic is not this. Mic is not this. Mic is not this. Mic is not this. I negate everything. This is mic is not this, not this, not this. I only want this thing. Everything has been negated as non-mic. What is left behind? What cannot be negated as non-mic is this. Understand? Like that, Upanishad, the Shastram also, what does it do? By negating what the substance is not, by negating, understand? By negating what reality is not, it helps you to arrive at what the reality is. It means what? By negating what the self is not, it helps you to arrive at what the self is. Therefore, Shastram has to help us distinguish the self from the non-self, from what the self is not. First method. And for that, Shastram uses very special method, Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya. I told you last class, we started here. From here, it's a new class, isn't it? Drik, say that. Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya. Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya means, Prakriya means the method. Drishya means seen, the seen, which stands for the object of knowledge. And Drik means seer. Drik means seer. Drishyam means seen. Vivekaha means discriminating or discrimination or distinguishing. Okay? And Prakriya means method. Methodology. So what does it mean here? Okay, the method of distinguishing the seer or the knower or the subject of knowledge, okay, from the seen or the known or the object. Okay, the method of distinguishing the knower from the known. The method of distinguishing the seer from the seen. The method of distinguishing the observer from the observed. It's called Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya. The method of distinguishing the experiencer from the experienced. It's also known as subject-object analysis. Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya is also known as subject-object analysis. Why we have to distinguish the self? Because we do not know what the self is. not only we do not know what the self is, we do not know that we do not know what the self is, and not only that we do not know what the self is, we also think, we mistake, okay, that which is not the self for the self. Understand? Therefore, Shastram has an important job. First of all, come on, we have to distinguish. And it has to use a method which is may help us understand, to know something, understand something unknown through the known also. Okay? Therefore, we know subject, object, etc. We know. So, Shastram uses this method. What does it do? I told you, anything, an object, anything which can be indicated by any pronoun other than I, the first person singular pronoun, is an object of knowledge. The object can be far from you or very close to you. You can either use the pronoun that or this or those or these. Okay, it, whatever it is, any object indicated by any pronoun other than I is an object of knowledge. Therefore, we say that is an object, that is a door, that is a car, this is like that, we negate everything. And as things come close, you can say this is a chair and this is a dress, like that. And Shastram brings you close, you come closely and come to the body. And there it's, Shastram tells, these are toes, these are nails, these are feet, these are shanks, these are thighs, these are knees, this is a back, this is front, these are hands, these are fingers, these are nails, this is a head, these are cheeks, this is a chin, and this is a nose, these are eyes, these are ears, this is head, this is neck. Everything is what, whole physical body, part-wise indicatable through, okay, through the pronoun, third person pronouns. Therefore, the whole physical body is, you can say, this is a body. Therefore, when you say this is a body and this is known to you, this is known to me, okay? Like, a chair is known to me, a statue is known to me, light is known to me, sound is known to me. That is, this body also is known to me. When anything known to you, indicated by a pronoun, this definitely is an object of knowledge. And who are you? You are the knower, you are the seer, you are the observer, you are the experiencer, and you are definitely different from the known physical body, this gross body, which is an object of knowledge. You, the knower, are different from the known object of knowledge. There is no doubt at all, we never mistake an object of knowledge for the knower. We never mistake the known, seen object of knowledge for the knower, the subject. It's no doubt. Therefore, this physical body also is an object of knowledge known to you. Therefore, you, the knower, are different from the known physical body, an object of knowledge. This physical body is drishyam, the seen, the known, object of knowledge. And you are a drik. You are a drik, the seer, knower, subject, different from the object. This is the first negation. I told you, Shastram uses the neti, neti, vachanehi means what now? By negating what the self is not, it helps you to arrive at what the self is. What is the first negation? Negating the body as the non-self. In Sanskrit language, we use the word for the non-self, anatma. Okay, so the body is the non-self. So all these days, we mistake the body for the self. Understand? And the first method, first negation, helps us to... negating the body as the non-self has not really helped you to... Still you have not yet known what the self is. You have to distinguish it first. Then you will know what it is. You have distinguished it now. So this body is what a gross body. We call sthula dehaha or sthula shariram. Therefore, the drik, you, the knower, the subject of knowledge, is different from the known sthula shariram. This is the first negation. Then after this, we entered into next negation, sukshma shariram or sukshma dehaha, subtle body. Understand? Subtle body. And when I say subtle body, understand one thing. Sthula shariram is known to me. I can see this through my physical eyes. It's available for sense perception. I can see through my eyes. I can touch. I can feel. Understand? When I fall, I also know the sound. Therefore, I can know this physical. It's a gross body. Not only I can see my physical gross body, all of us can see all our physical forms. That is why it's called a gross, tangible, perceptible, visible, isn't it? It is a gross body. Whereas when you say subtle body, the very word subtle we are using because it is imperceptible through senses. It is not visible and it is known only to one's subtle body is known to one's own self. I know my, understand? I know my subtle body. Every one of you know your own subtle body. It's clear, so it's called subtle. That which is imperceptible, that which is not perceivable through senses, not tangible, is what? Subtle. It is called sukshma shariram or sukshma dehaha. But so subtle body, even though we use the word body, we should understand one thing, it doesn't have form like the gross body. Subtle body has no form and subtle body cannot be related to without the gross body. And subtle body cannot, does not reflect light, therefore it can never be photographed. Be very clear. Because people come to this country, I know, with the pictures of souls, okay, with the white frocks, wearing white frocks. Okay, I see the picture, people come, you know, we see, we had the Avi Ulaham. They say it is, you know, ghosts, pictures of the ghosts and spirits. They say we have got this, because they take the picture of some Mahatma. I tell you, even in this Jagat, this physics is so advanced nowadays. We understand, subtle body, why, with the very purpose of calling it subtle is, it is subtle means, it is imperceptible, it cannot reflect light. Anything which can reflect light is a gross. Understand? And then this cannot be photographed. For something to be photographed, it should be able to reflect light. People come, I tell you, you take some smoke and take the picture of a smoke and they come and show you. We believe it. Anyway, because Shastra doesn't accept all those things. Understand? If we can take, and all of us can have pictures of our own ancestors, okay? We need not have the gross forms of for ancestral worship. Anyway, subtle body has no form, imperceptible, therefore it's called subtle, and it has no form, and is said, but 16 aspects, 16 factors together constitute the subtle body. And I said, Pancha Jnana Indriyani, 5 sense organs, 5 Pancha Karma Indriyani, 5 organs of actions, and Pancha Pranaha, 5 physiological functions. We are going to see them all together. And the 16th factor, I said, Antahkaranam. Okay, the inner faculty, mind. Totally 16. Perhaps we'll call it 19, but in the initial stage, I want to teach it as 16. Okay, we'll see it later on. When I say subtle, see, we have eyes are sense organs, ears are sense organs, nose is sense organ, tongue is sense organ, and skin also is a sense organ for us. 5 different sense organs. But here, whatever is perceptible, like a skin is perceptible, eyeball is perceptible, eyelids are perceptible, okay? Eyes are perceptible, ears are perceptible, even the drums are perceptible, how to operate. Understand? All perceptible. But I say sense organ when I say the sense power which is there, because of which the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching is possible. That 5 powers of organs of knowledge are said to be what? Indriyani, jnana indriyani. 5 sense powers are subtle. You know whether your eyes can see or not. You know whether your ears can hear or not. You know whether your nose can smell, or you have running nose, you have can't smell any fragrance or stink or not. You know whether your tongue can taste or not. Understand? Therefore, you know your sense powers. You can't see them through physical eyes. Understand? So what you see externally, these parts belong to physical body. But the sense powers in each one of them is called, okay, 5 sense organs. We'll read elaborately when I do the actual, when I start the text. Today I just want to give you, tell you how Shastram helps you to distinguish. That is my first step. But the same methodology we'll be using in Shastra class again. I'll be elaborately talking on the Sushma Sharidam. It'll become very clear. So, okay? Then I said 5 organs of actions. I said organ of speech, hands, legs, and excretory organ or organ of evacuation, and then a reproductory organ. The 5 organs are also physical parts, but you say the powers. No, the power because of which you're able to move the hands and things, etc. The 5 powers in these 5 different organs of action, which are not visible, but every one of you know your own powers of organs of action. Therefore, 5 powers of organs of action. Then I said 5 physiological functions. You don't see them at all through physical eyes, but you know the 5 different, in fact, one vital air takes care of 5 different functions in the physical body. Understand? So we give 5 different names to the 5 functions. Okay, as five pranas, pancha pranaha. What are they? Pranaha governs the respiratory system. Apanaha governs the excretory system. Vyanaha governs the circulatory system. Samanaha governs the digestive system. And Udanaha governs the retentive system or reversing system. I tell you again, Pranaha, respiration, Apanaha, excretion or evacuation, Vyanaha, circulation, Samanaha, digestion, Udanaha, retention or reversing system. Five different systems. These five physiological systems, I mean functions, you know, even if one cannot happen without the other, without one, other four cannot happen. How important, no? Because they always energize, they keep the system energetic, these pranas. And all the five pranas are known to you. You know how comfortably respiration is taking place. If there's no comfort, you can't enjoy this class. You can't do anything, you know that very well. So all the five pranas are known, physiological functions are known to you. Therefore, we negate one after the other. Five sense powers are known to you. Therefore, you are the knower, the subject. Not only you, the subject, you are the knower, are different from the known gross physical body. You are the knower, your subject, different from the known sense organs. Your sense organs are also what? Objects of knowledge. Therefore, you are different from the known objects of knowledge, the sense organs. Similarly, you are different from the known powers, organs of actions. You, the knower, are different from the known organs of actions. Similarly, you, the knower, are different from the known physiological functions. You are the subject, different from the known physiological functions, the objects of knowledge. Okay? So first negation is physical body. Second negation is what? Sense organs are also anatma, non-self. The self, you, the self, the knower, are different from the known objects of knowledge, the sense organs. You, the self, the knower, are different from the known organs of actions. You, the self, the knower, are different from the known physiological functions. 1, 2, 3. Three negations again. Now, four things have been negated as non-self. Okay? Negation 1, negation 2, negation 3, negation 4. Then what is left behind now? Antahkaranam, mind. I tell you, this is only introduction for you to understand an idea. As I proceed further with the classes, and this will be elaborately discussed. Now we say, mind also is an object of knowledge. Therefore, you, the self, the knower, are different from the known object of knowledge, the mind, known mind. Now the question comes, what is this mind? Antahkaranam, internal organ, we call it. It's a faculty. Now, what is this faculty? See, mind, antahkaranam, is nothing but constant, continuous flow of thoughts to put together is the mind. All the varieties of thoughts which arise in our mind, okay, which arise together constitute the mind. What is an ocean? Innumerably countless waves together form the ocean. separate each way, or not either remove all the waves. Understand? There is no ocean. What is waves put together is ocean. Like that, here you can say, thought waves put together is mind. And what is a thought? In English language, thought is also past tense of the word think. Understand? But here the noun also is a thought. The thing. And then, we say thought. We can say thought modification or thought or a given state of mind. Mana, nilai, yennam, all these words you have in Tamil. So, varieties of thoughts together constitute the mind. For our understanding, for the purpose of easy understanding of the antarkaranam, Shastram helps us to categorize the thoughts into four groups. So, mind is again divided into four as what? Mind, intellect, memory, and ego. So, mana, I tell you in Sanskrit word, Sanskrit. Mind is equal to manaha. Intellect is equal to buddhihi. Memory is equal to chittam. Ego is equal to ahankaraha. In fact, all are states of mind. All are, you can say, thoughts or thought modifications or states of mind. In Sanskrit language, we call it antahkarana vrittihi. Vrittihi means a state of mind, a thought modification. Vrittihi. It's a technical term actually. Vrittihi is a word we use to mean a thought. Now listen. What are all the thoughts which constitute the mind? Listen carefully. Do you know Greek? You say, I don't know. So what is that? Ignorance. Isn't it? Ignorance of Greek. Ignorance is what? A state of mind. Then we say, listen carefully. Confusion. I'm confused. We often say this. I'm confused about this. Confusion is a state of mind. Illusion is a state of mind. Hallucination is a state of mind. Doubt, sandeham, is a state of mind. Doubt, ignorance, doubt, confusion. Fear, agitation, padabadappu we say in Tamil, anger, desire, anxiety, jealousy, hatred. All these, I can give a list, big list, okay? These are very, very well known to us. Jealousy, hatred, anger, desire, ignorance, doubt, restless, agitation, fear, anxiety, tension. All these different states of mind, vivere manilegal, okay? All of them constitute the mind. They come under the category of mind. See, mind is a big topic, okay? Of the mind, varieties of these are the types of thoughts which constitute the mind.
Sad, happy.
Hmm?
Sad, happy.
I'm going to come to the point. Okay? There's so many. See, just I'm giving a few examples that I'm not discussing everything here.
Mm.
So any degree of pain, guilt, hurt, no, pain, sadness, sorrow, grief, they all come under the category of mind. Then we go to next one. Knowledge. Simple knowledge. There are 10 people in this room. There is light in this room. It is dark outside. Simple perceptions. One person is talking. Others are listening and writing. Simple knowledge. Knowledge of anything is a thought. Namaha thought. Knowledge of anything is what? Thought. Ignorance is a state of mind. Similarly, knowledge is a state of mind. Knowledge, perception, you see through senses and understand. Knowledge, understanding, perception, cognition, recognition. Recognition, cheerfulness, enthusiasm, clarity regarding anything, clarity, enthusiasm, cheerfulness, resolve, urdi, fortitude, resolve not to do something. Decision, see, dilemma is mind, okay? Decision is intellect. These are all states of mind. Okay, these states of mind constitute intellect. And all are different states of mind. They constitute what? Intellect. We'll analyze these thoughts again in detail. Become very clear. It's only just introduced first today. Then comes what? Chittam. Chittam is just the memory. Our forgetfulness and remembrance come under memory. Remember. Suppose all your past, whatever you can recollect now, from your childhood, anything you can recollect now, is there. Where is it? All your past from childhood, you're young, you're a teenager, before marriage, after marriage, immediately after marriage, or when your grandparents are alive, all like different. How life used to be in Sri Lanka. Now how it is here. Now when you come, all that past, anything and everything, all your past you can just recollect and replay it. Like our video recorder. Where is it? So just the thought. Okay? So recollection of the past memories. Recollection of the past instances which remain stored in the mind is also nothing but thought. It's called a chittam, memory. It's nothing but the thought. It's all our mind. Okay? Now tell me, which of these thoughts is not known to you? Your mind is known to you. Your intellect is known to you. Understand? And your memory is very well known to you. Sometimes you also say, I don't remember everything. You're not remembering, not, your forgetfulness also is known to you. You know what all you remember, you know what all you forgot. You know what all you don't remember also, isn't it? So which is not known to you now, tell me. And one more thing is there, what is it? Ahankaraha. Very important thing. You know that what is? Very simple thing. The knowledge. When you say the knowledge, okay, anything is, see there is light, there are 5 bulbs, bright bulbs, there are 10 people, there is world, there is still universe, okay. When you say anything is knowledge, knowledge of anything which is, when you say, that is, that comes under intellect, understand. But one very special thing, the knowledge that I am. The knowledge that I am. Amazing. It is ego. Therefore, don't feel bad about having ego. Okay? Again, people always say, drop your ego, drop your ego. You cannot drop your ego. You have to become an animal to drop your ego. Understand? The self-consciousness itself is what? Because of this knowledge. The knowledge that I am. And not only that, if the knowledge that I am is there, no problem. But I am, you add anything. So and so. I am this, I am that, I am this much, I am that much. And any image you have about yourself, any notion one entertains about oneself, is also what? Ego. The knowledge that I am must be there for you to have any notion about yourself. You cannot say I am first. Can you say simply fat, tall, dark, fair, intelligent, fool? All these words, it should go with what? I am must be there first, no? Therefore, the knowledge that I am is very important. That itself is what? A thought. The knowledge that I am is also a thought. Then any notion you have about yourself, because of which you are able to say, suppose you think, you have a notion about yourself, you are very intelligent. What will you say? I am very intelligent. I am wise. I am a fool. I am ignorant. Whatever you say, the any notion you have about yourself is also a thought. Notion about oneself is a thought. Notion about anything else also is what? An opinion, notion, an image one has about oneself is also thought. It's all ahankara. Understand? Therefore, the very knowledge that I am is also what? Ahankara. Understand? Therefore, that's also thought. Now, I'm not talking about whether ahankara is good or bad. I just want you to understand in this context, all that we need to know is the knowledge that I am is also thought, and thereby any notion one has about oneself also is in the form of a thought. Understand? And all these thoughts together constitute what? Ahankaraha. Therefore, that is also known to you. You all know very well that you are. Don't you know? I know I am. Therefore, what no can say? Every one of you can say, I know I am. You know you are. If any of you say here, no, I do not know whether I am here, whether I am, then I will ask you to ask the next person. Tell, okay, am I here? Am I? other person will won't even answer you. Immediately get up and go and phone your home family members and please come with the car, not along with the, luckily we have one psychiatrist here. You may have to get another person also. Okay, and immediately they'll come readily with all prepared. I understand. That means what? One thing I don't need to ask anybody. What is that? I am. Am I? That question never will come. It asks, is he, is she, is that, is this? But am I will never come. No way. Always, you know, you are. Understand? Therefore, when you say you, I am, is also thought. It's also knowledge. This is a thought. Therefore, all these thoughts are known. Which of these thoughts is not known to you? Mind is known to you. All the thoughts which conform the mind is mind are known to you. All the thoughts which form the intellect are known to you. All the thoughts in the form of your memory is known to you. All the thoughts, okay, any notion you have about yourself is very well known to you. Of course, you are known to you. You are is known to you. You are is known to you. Isn't it? Therefore, mind also belongs to the drishyam, belongs to an object. So mind also is an object of knowledge. Therefore, we say here, this is the negation. You, the knower, the subject, are different from the known mind, which is an object of knowledge. It will become very clear when we go to another method. Therefore, now what has this called? This drishya viveka prakriya. Now what has happened now? You have distinguished the self from, okay, the non-self. You have distinguished the knower from the known. But you have yet to know who that distinguished knower is. That means distinguished means what? You know definitely, okay, self is not the body, gross body. Self, the knower, is not the known physical body. Self, the knower, is not the known organs of knowledge, sense organs. Self, the knower, is not the known organs of actions. Self, the knower, is not the known physiological functions. Self, the knower, is not the known mind. This is called distinguishing first, okay, self from the non-self. How did you distinguish it? By doing the subject-object analysis. You know what is object, an object of knowledge. You know what is subject of knowledge. You know what knowledge is. Understand? You distinguished. You can already, you know, at least our language knowledge has helped us to understand subject, object, etc. And who is the knower? Knower is the subject. Subject is the I. Understand now? Therefore, now we have to know who is this knower. And I can tell you one more thing. And all of you are seriously listening to me here. And I'm also, I feel very enthusiastic about it. Oh, I think people like my voice and the way I talk. People are watching and then carefully they're staring at me without even moving the eyelids. I feel very inspired to talk to you. And then what happens? in between I ask some question. Then I understand you are only staring at me, you are looking at me, you are not here. That means what? The way you are staring at me, I think you were listening, but you were looking, you were not even seeing me. You were hearing, but you are not listening. That means what? And then you don't, when you ask me the question, you don't answer. Come on, I'm asking you the question, what is that? You're not answering. Then you come back. And you say, I'm very sorry, I was very attentive in the class. I was listening to you very carefully. But only for a while, suddenly I thought of what happened to the milk I kept in. No, I turned the stove on or not, before I left. Or I locked the door or not, I put the door or not. Suddenly some doubt came, only for few fraction of seconds, okay, few minutes, for a minute, my mind was absent here, went home. I'm sorry, I didn't listen. That means what? I think, where are you? No, I was here only, but my mind went off also. How do you know that? Understand? You know where you are. Understand? You know where your mind was, where your mind was not. You say, my mind was not here, my mind had gone home, okay? You are able to say that. It means you know where your mind was, where your mind was not. That means your mind being here, there, elsewhere is known to you. The mind being not here is known to you. Therefore, mind is known. Anything known to you is what? An object of knowledge. Therefore, you, the knower, are different from the known object of knowledge. Therefore, there is no doubt. Mind also is an object of knowledge. Therefore, it means, who am I? Some people say, of course we had a Mahatma called Ramana Maharshi. The Mahatmas say very profound statements. They just say, come on, ask this question, who am I? You'll find an answer. Not that you can just stumble upon the answer. Just keep on, if you ask the question, you can never stumble upon the answer. You need to study this systematically. Understand? What they meant is different. But followers, unfortunately, they think, okay, we don't need teacher, we don't need Shastram. We can just keep on asking the question. One day the answer will dawn. No. Shastram doesn't accept it. The tradition doesn't accept it. Understand? So, who am I? And here, Shastram, okay, this is pure consciousness. The knower is pure consciousness. The substance of the substantive, I, is the pure consciousness. In Sanskrit language, Chaitanyam, Shuddha Chaitanyam, pure awareness, pure consciousness. Is the knower, substance of the substantive I, the self. I, the self. I, the knower, am the self, the pure consciousness. The meaning of the substance of the substantive I is what? Pure consciousness. Understand? The one reality without which the universe cannot exist at all is pure consciousness. And what is that consciousness? How is it? How to know what consciousness is? So that which is there in all the minds, always, okay, as the very knower, that which is there in everything, everywhere, but that which is available for recognition only as I. When I say consciousness, suppose we say where is the, suppose the wave which happens to know the truth of the ocean, enter ocean. Hey, where is H2O? Where H2O is not in the ocean? Where is H2O in the ocean? Where H2O is not? That should be the answer. Where it is not. The entire ocean, every wave, the nook and corner, everything is what? Penetrated, pervaded, permeated by what? H2O. Isn't it? But for the wave, the H2O which is all pervasive, is available for recognition as its own truth. Similarly, for every mind, understand, the mind is the one who has to know everything, which has to know everything. Whether you study any discipline, where does the knowledge take place? In the mind, isn't it? Therefore, the knowledge of the self also, where should take place? In the mind. Understand? Therefore, even though it is all pervasive, because subtlest is substance, it is available for recognition only as the meaning of the word I. Okay? As the very subject, as the knower of the mind. Where is it available for recognition? It's like, suppose somebody comes and asks you, when there is a party, you make varieties of, dishes. And you know what, once we, suppose in South Indian mean, and then it's everything is nothing but rice. Varieties of products. Okay, Sri Lankan pots, let us all use Sri Lankan pots because we are studying here. And Tilakasa. Okay. Okay. Now what I'm saying, suppose if you know varieties of things, you know, puttu, idiyappam, okay, and whatnot, and then something, varieties of things. You know, we make idli dosas, all those things. And you see, what is this? Names are different. Forms are different, colors look different, but I say all of them are nothing but carbohydrate. Okay, and we say, what is this? All are nothing but rice, just the rice products. All are rice. We want to see what there. Suppose a person who does not know what the word rice means. You simply say everything is rice, nothing but rice products, okay, all are rice products. By seeing idiyappam or idli or dosai or anything else, can you know what the rice is? How the rice looks? Even though what all the eatables are nothing but rice products, but if you have to see exactly how the rice looks, you have to go where? She'll take you to the storeroom, or she has to bring from the storeroom to show you from the bag. Hey, this is the uncooked, okay? This is the rice which got ground and which became a batter, and then now it's in this form. To know how the rice exactly looks, by seeing idli or idiyappam, you cannot know how exactly the rice looks. Even though it's nothing but rice. Similarly, to know, even though the whole jagat is ultimately what? Pervaded by consciousness. But how exactly consciousness is? What exactly is consciousness? It is available. Where is it available for recognition? Ullame Thirukovil. Why our minds are said to be temples? Understand? Because mind, the reality of the whole universe is available for recognition as the very truth of the mind, as the reality of the mind, as the substance of the substantive I. Even though all that is, there is only that, but it won't be available for objectification. Because it is the very self. Reality happens to be this self. It can never be available for knowledge as an object of knowledge. Reality will be available for knowledge as a subject of knowledge. Understand? Reality is available for recognition as the subject of knowledge. As the knower. That is why science can never arrive at it. Understand? Of course, they're coming very, very closely coming. But still, to touch that. Because all, anything known in the field of science, physics is what? Within the realm of now, mind. It doesn't go beyond mind. Within the realm of world of objects. They have to miss out the subject. And here, the reality is available for recognition as the subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge. As the very knower.
I need that to rip it a little bit so that we can grasp it a little more.
Yeah, no, the reality, the truth of the entire universe is available for recognition, knowledge, as the very subject of knowledge. Not as an object of knowledge. As the very knower. In one's own mind. It cannot be known externally. Even though it pervades everything, it can be known externally.
Sorry, in other words, you're saying the mind is the... Is it the consciousness you're talking about? Sorry, I missed that.
No, I'm not. I said mind also is an object of knowledge.
Yes.
Now, I have not come to the point because still I have to do something, some more lessons. Okay. I have not yet taught you, I have not yet helped you to I only help you to distinguish the self. I have not yet told you what is a distinguished self. I used the word consciousness. You have not understood what consciousness is it. Is it clear now? Now, one thing I want to tell you, see, self or the reality of the universe is available for recognition, for knowledge, understanding, only as the very subject, only as the very knower. Now, we do not know who the knower is. Understand? What I said, that means the mind also has been negated as the known, including the knowledge that I am. Isn't it? The entire mind, I told you what the mind is now. The knowledge that I am is a thought. And any notion I have about myself is a thought, which is ahankara. Understand? Everything is known. Your mind also is known to you, known to me. is known, mind also is known, therefore who am I then? I know I am, but I do not know what I am. Is it clear now? This is what is said to be half knowledge. I know I am, but I do not know what I am, who I am. And I do not know that I do not know what I am or who I am. And only now we understand, even to know, I am the knower, I know I am, I know everything, I know, understand, but what I am. Because everything is known to me now. Anything known is an object of knowledge. Who am I, the knower? Understand? That's what I said in the very beginning. Listen carefully. The very beginning I said, the animals, I said, remain steeped in ignorance. In the initial classes I told you. When I said animals remain steeped in ignorance, all the living beings except human being remain steeped in total ignorance. What does it mean? There is no such knowledge called I am in any animal or any other creature. Irikkiren என்கிற அறிவு கிடையாது. No other animal has this knowledge. Therefore, no animal is eligible to know who I am, what I am. Therefore, we say total ignorance. Ignorance is total in animals. Why? There is no knowledge that I am. They are not qualified to know who I am. They don't need the knowledge also. Ignorance is total. Therefore, there is no self-consciousness. There is no self-recognition. They have instinctual knowledge of that, recognizing their own species, reproducing, and that's all. That is why no animal can compare itself with another animal or its own other animal of its own species. One dog cannot, does not compare itself with another dog. One cow does not compare itself with lion or its own another cow also. So there is no superiority complex, no inferiority complex. Our Swamiji gives a lot of beautiful, jovial examples, you know. When the dogs are taken for dog show, they've been trained for quite some time. When they get prizes, first, second, third. The first prize winner dog doesn't feel elated there. Nor the loser's dog feel very dejected and depressed. Both the dogs are equally happy. But the dog owners.
If you ask the vet, he'll say, no, the dog is depressed, that's why he's walking like that.
This is against our own projection. We evolve and we project, you see. Now, what I'm saying, this is because there's no complex, no pain, understand? No superiority, inferiority complexes in animal, because knowledge, ignorance is total. But whereas we have what? Half knowledge, half baked. Okay. I know I am, but I do not know who I am or what I am. Not only I do not know what I am, I do not know that I do not know what I am. Understand? This half knowledge, when it becomes, when, so that's why man is superior. And when this knowledge becomes complete, listen, this knowledge is incomplete half knowledge now, partial knowledge. when the knowledge that I am, you're already blessed with, thank God, don't need to know I am. Okay? You already know you are. When you discover who you are, what you are, knowledge becomes total. Total knowledge is freedom. That's why half knowledge makes you man, different from animals, and the total knowledge converts man into Bhagavan, God. மனிதனை இறைவனாக்குவது அறிவின் முழுமையே நிறைவு. Understand? Knowledge becomes total. Man becomes God. God means what? Understanding the God is becoming God. You can never become God. Already God. When you say everything is, every wave is ocean, isn't it? Only thing in the wave has to know I'm already ocean. I'm part of the ocean. Isn't it? The wave can never become ocean. When can wave become ocean? It never become ocean. It's already ocean. All that it needs to know is it's already ocean. Because it's not outside of ocean. Similarly, you can never become God, in fact. You're already God. But what makes you man is your ignorance. That you do not know that already you're part of the whole. You can mechanically say, I'm also part of the whole. Not from the standpoint of the reality. Therefore, when this half knowledge becomes complete, this half knowledge becomes total, this incomplete knowledge becomes complete, no? Arivin mulumaye niraivu. Understand? Total knowledge is freedom, happiness. And total ignorance also is bliss. Why? There's no complex, no comparison, no problem. See, in total ignorance also there is sorrowlessness. In total knowledge also there is sorrowlessness. The total knowledge is happiness and total ignorance is bliss. What's the difference? In English dictionary, the word bliss, the word happiness mean the same, sorrowlessness. We can choose to have bliss, we can choose to have happiness. We have to start crawling again or walk on four legs just to be to have bliss. We don't want bliss, don't we? We want happiness. Therefore, now we have distinguished the self from the non-self. We have negated the entire sukshma shariram as what? As I, the knower, am different from the known sense organs, known organs of action, known physiological functions, the known mind. Therefore, five different negations have been done. This is how shastram, through the method of negating what the knower is not, how the knower is different from the known, negating the known as the non-self, negating the knower, okay, what this non-knower is not, they help. First, this methodology, Drishya Viveka Prakriya, helps you distinguish the knower, the self, the subject from the known objects. Then there's another methodology. Is it?
Yeah.
Time. Okay. And then, so now we know the knower is pure consciousness. But what is that consciousness? How is it? That will be next class.